You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
All right, that's kind of fun to see some of our missionaries, is it not? Yeah. Fun to see them. And my name's Mark, and I'm one of the pastors here at True North, and we live stream this gathering. Would you give it up for those watching online today? And thanks for joining us. Anyone here, and be careful not to lie, it's church. Anyone here ever done something really stupid? Raise your hand high. The rest of you all good. I didn't throw that precursor in there. Be careful, it's church. Because last service, like three people raised their hand up doing something stupid, and the rest are like, I'm all like, oh, you're all smart, right? I do stupid stuff all the time. My wife tells me that. But one of the things I did, I was a youth pastor for 20 years, and I was in Seattle, Tacoma, Washington, just south of Seattle, and I was a youth pastor, I got together with my leadership team that let's just dream of crazy things we can do to try to get a couple hundred brand new kids to check out youth group on one night. And so, you know, it rains 80 inches a year, so we thought, you know, it'd be fun. We just, you know, you ever said it would be fun too, and then you'd commit to it? And so I thought, you know, it'd be fun to do an indoor sand volleyball tournament and have schools compete against each other. And it was a great idea. Aspects of it were a great idea. I got on the phone. I had 10 yards of sand delivered. I got someone donated a bobcat or skid steer for me. We had two gyms at this church. One had a wood floor. I didn't use that gym. I used the floor that had a cement floor and it was carpeted. So, I got 6x8s donated from the hardware lumber store, and we built this big old frame, and we had the volleyball standards up there, and we put Visqueen down and dumped the sand. We had 6 inches of sand. It was a great event. Lots of kids came up. It came out for it, and we had Moondoggies Grill and Chill. We gave non-alcoholic drinks with the olives and little umbrellas. We went all out for this thing prior to Amazon, so we had to look a little harder for stuff, you know. And so we did this event. Hundreds of kids came out, but halfway through the event, I'm thinking, like, where am I going to put all this sand? I'd not thought through the end of it. I was like, how do I get kids here? I never thought, how do I get sand out of here? And so I still had the bobcat and 27 pickup trucks later with my little Ford Ranger pickup. The sand's finally gone. There's not a hole in my neighborhood, I'm telling you, that wasn't filled with sand. There was sandboxes people hadn't asked for, you know. So I learned something that day. The executive, now my pastor never told me something was stupid. My pastor never came up and said, you know, So my pastor Montaigne, he said, so Mark, was it worth it? Now, that was his way, I figured out later on, was his way of saying, that was stupid. Never said, was it, he didn't say that was stupid, he said, was it worth it? Because he wanted me to ask the questions like, you know, for the couple hundred kids extra, but all the extra labor, you know, you can't scoop sand off a carpet and Visqueen, you got to shovel. I shoveled every single one of that thing. And I remember my exec pastor sat me down and says, you know, Mark, When it comes to managing events, and there's the five M's of every project, Mark. And he said, there's manpower, there's the methods, there's the machinery, there's the measurements, and there's the money. Make sure you have that down. Six Sigma adds Mother Nature in there if you've taken that class. And so there's all those things you have to think about. And what I realized is it really boils down to, can you execute it, can you implement it, and can you sustain it? And when it comes to missions, God's got, you know, God's dream's bigger than a couple hundred extra kids at a sand volleyball tournament. How many know that? And so when God, is God's plan sustainable? How can he implement it? How can he execute it? And I got a simple thought for you. We are his plan. You might say, well, Mark, you said there's manpower, machinery. Yep, machinery. You have a shoe size. His machine has a shoe size. You are it. You are a temple with a shoe size. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere we go, he goes with us. And God's dream is this. We read this last week, and we're going to talk about it again today a little bit. Revelation chapter 7. If you have your Bibles, turn there. It's also be on the screen here. But Revelation chapter 7 says, after this I saw a vast crowd That's two words. It's polyarrhythmus. It's like this huge, like arrhythmia. There's too, you can't even, this vast crowd, too many to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language. In other words, there's nations. There are people groups within a nation called tribes, and within that there's families, and then there's languages standing in the front of the throne before the Lamb of God. That's heaven. And they're clothed in white robes, they're holding palm trees in their hands, and they were shouting with great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." There's a picture in heaven, and in heaven someday, you know, I don't know about you, but if you have prejudice or you struggle with ethnicities and cultural cross-cultural situations, you might as well get over it now, because in heaven, there's a lot of people. And there might be people that have completely different cultural things that they embrace. In fact, there will be people. And in heaven, there's all these. And how does God plan to execute and implement his plan to see the nations in heaven and to see the tribes and the peoples and the languages? Friends, we are his plan. We are his plan. Jesus came to this earth, lived a sinless life for 33 years. He lived. He worked in his father's carpenter shop, and he turned 30. God anointed him for ministry. Starts a call, begins to do miracles at the age of 30. At 33, they crucify him. He rises from the dead, and before he ascends into heaven, he starts telling people what his plans are. So how's he going to implement it? We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about how God has chosen us to implement and execute his plan for the nations. And every tribe and every tongue and every language group in heaven someday, we are his plan. If you're taking notes, number one, write this down. Number one, God has commissioned all of us. Again, God's resurrected from the dead. And one of the last things he does before he ascends into heaven is he commissions us. It's a co-mission. He has a mission, and we're with him on this mission. He's commanded us to join him on mission to have all the nations hear the good news of Jesus. In Matthew, it says he's commissioned us to make disciples of all nations. In Mark chapter 16, he's commissioned us to go and to preach the gospel to all nations. We've been commissioned. In Acts chapter 1, and some people don't understand this, but really Acts is like Luke part 2. And so there's four gospels, but Acts is like God, is like Luke chapter, it's like the next book in the book, a series. And in Acts chapter 1, we see the fifth time we see the Great Commission mandate in the gospels or in the New Testament, and we see him say this, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to do what? To be. Not to do, but to be." God has put something in us so we become who God's called us to become. We're commissioned, but he says to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. Now Jerusalem, it was a town in Judea, which is the country or the area, the state, if we could use American terms. But you got the city, and then you got a larger community or country, and then you've got Samaria and the ends of the earth. Now, what's interesting, if you break this down, is it's really Jerusalem. He's reached you. You want to be a witness in Jerusalem, means across the street from you, you're your witness. Judea means across the country from you. Same language, no language barrier here, but it's across the country or across the state. But he goes on and says Samaria, which was across the tracks. That's cross-cultural. Don't have to go very far. How many want to know we don't have to go very far to find cultures different than the one we were raised in? And he says in the ends of the earth. In other words, God has called us and commissioned us to take the gospel across the street. He's called to take it across the tracks to cultures different than ours. He's taken us across the people that we understand their culture, maybe America, and he's told us to go over the seas. And I'm convinced you won't cross the sea unless you first see the cross. You got to know what he's called us to do. And so he's commissioned all of us. We are his plan. not for a large citywide indoor volleyball tournament with sand. Although there's times he's probably thought, is it worth it? He's turned it over to us, and sometimes we're not, sometimes, how many of you want to know we're human? He's trusted us to do our part. We are his plan. The second truth on this thought is, not only has he commissioned us, but number two, he's promised to go with us. He's promised to go with us. I've been reading the book of Exodus in my Bible reading plan for the year, and a few weeks ago, it was Moses was like, you know, I can't talk very well, God, I can't do this. And finally Moses says, send someone else, God, I don't want to go. But it's amazing how God was saying, like, he said, how can I, Moses is going, how can I go? And he goes, well, tell him I sent you. I'm going to go with you. Gave him a stick and a stud, or a stick and throw it down and turn it into a snake, pick it back up. Yeah, how many want to know God is not going to leave us unempowered if he sends us to go? In fact, here's a couple thoughts. He sends us to go to places he himself wants to go. Now think about it. He could go without us, but he chooses to send us. And if he lives inside of us, then guess who's going with us? Right? In the Gospel of Luke, it says in Luke chapter 10, it says, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns he planned to visit. When I look at that and I go, yeah, he planned to visit and he's planning to use us to help him. And if he's inside of us, then where's he going? Everywhere we go, there he goes. If you're a teenager and you have a size 12 shoe, then guess what? Everywhere your size 12s go, God goes with you. Everywhere we go, he goes. How many want to know if God wants to go in all the world and we go, he's sending us to places he wants to go. He's taking us. The second thing I know about the fact he promises to be with us is that he goes with us. He goes with us. Read the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And every time he tells his disciples, go and all the one preach the gospel, there's this word go. And then a little bit later on, he says, and lo, I'll be with you always. In fact, I'm not just telling you to go. I'm going with you. I'm empowering you. In other words, my fingerprints are really your fingerprints. And I want to touch the world through your fingerprints. I want to use you to touch the world. How many want to know? That's the greatest compliment anyone could give me is God said, I want to touch the world, but I want to touch the world with your fingerprints. I don't know if that excites anyone to realize God's not asking us to do something he's not going to empower us to do. He gives us the tools we need. I remember years ago, I was in Bible college, and we had different mission trips we would take. I remember I signed up for one. It was in Minneapolis. The ministry was called Acts 29. And Acts has 28 chapters, but he said, the premise was, let's live the 29th chapter. Let's continue the book of Acts. How many want to know, we are Acts 29. We are the next step. We're the next chapter. We're still writing the stories of God through our lives, right? So I'm there, and we're helping out with this place called Chapel of Hope, and it was a homeless ministry there in downtown Minneapolis. And you've heard of Minneapolis. There's been a few challenges there recently, right? And so we're there. So we're doing this ministry. There's like, we're serving people food. We're cooking. We're doing a chapel that day, service that day. And they realized that if you wanted people to come in, you come in and you do a chapel and then you serve food. Otherwise, they get the food and they leave sometimes. And so they had it all planned. And so I remember we're inviting people. And this guy named Larry, a guy named Tim and I, I forget Tim's last name, but we meet this guy named Larry. And we're passing out invites. And Larry's drunk. Larry was not. He wasn't as coherent as, you know, he was not. And so we said, well, can we do anything for you? Larry says, well, I want some food. And then he said, if you love God, you'll get food for me. And I'm thinking, that's manipulation right there. Because I love God. But what he wanted me to do, he wanted me to go back in the Chapel of Hope, get a tray of food and walk it out to him so he wouldn't have to stand in line with the other 100 people. And I'm thinking, like, I'm not going to walk out in front of 100 people with food to give it to one person. That's called stupid. I was going to be mom. Thank you. That's exactly what was going to happen. And so we said, well, can we pray for you? And Larry said, absolutely. And I remember Tim going, is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? He says, absolutely. So he put his hand on his shoulder. We start praying for Larry. And Larry starts feeling his face, and he stops and goes, totally sober. What did you just do to me? He said, I was drunk a moment ago. I'm not drunk anymore. And right there at 7-Eleven in downtown Minneapolis, Tim and I led Larry to Jesus Christ. How many want to know when you go where God wants you to go, he empowers you, he commissions. I remember we're in Mexico. In fact, one of our trips this year is in Rancho de Cisneros, Mexico. And they have a large orphanage and a Bible college, and then they plant churches around the area. And so we would do projects around the base in the morning and work in the orphanage, and then we would go up to an evening place in Canvas and pray, and then have a service in a local church there. And I remember we're in this local church, and not that many people come that night. And this person came, and he had a palsied hand. It was completely palsied. And we have a prayer altar time to pray. And I, of course, I don't speak English. I don't preach Spanish. So we had interpreters for the service and all of that. And gloria a Dios, aleluya. But I had an intern that spoke Spanish. And we're praying over this young man, this man with a palsied hand. And all of a sudden, the guy's hand pops back out, cracks, and he runs out of church. I'm thinking, like, there's 11 people there now. And he took his daughter. There's 9. And there's someone over here. She had a kneecap on the side of her knee. It wasn't in the front of her knee. It was on the side of her knee. And so Ashley and one of our other interns is over there. We have Ashley Garcia was her name, and she goes over there to Anya, and they're praying. And the lady's kneecap pops back into the front of her knee. It's like pop, pop, and she starts screaming. She runs out of church. And I'm thinking, like, this is a great church growth conference right now. But what happened was that woman had broke her knee when she was in junior high, didn't have medical attention. It healed on the wrong side of her body. It popped back in the center. She ran out to get the rest of her family members and other people who are sick. And before you know it, there's 25, 30, 40 people in that church service because God was, how many want to know? God goes wherever we go. But sometimes we don't see those things because we have our own little sphere of influence. Oh, we don't get outside and cross the street or cross the tracks or cross the globe to see what God wants to show us. And I want to encourage you, we are his plan. There'll be more people from that small village in Mexico in heaven because a group from Vegas went on a missions trip there, not because we have all the answers, but because God knows how to reach lost people for Jesus. And he chooses to use us. And he chooses to let us be the fingerprints he uses to touch people. That's who God is. He goes with us. In Matthew, it says, and be sure of this, I am with you always. I'm with you always. Now, how do we join him on mission? How if we're his plan, how do we do that? How do we break it down in Fairbanks, Alaska, North Pole, the interior? How do we become a part of that? Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. How do we help fulfill the join them on missions? Number one, we pray. Like, well, Mark, I need to, like help me figure out, like, a tangent. We pray. Well, I don't know how to pray. Ask God to help. Pray as you can, not as you can't. God, help. I'm not sure what these missionaries need, but you know what they need. So, Lord, would you work through the missionaries? Would you do a work? Two ways to pray. Pray for more people to go. Pray for more people. The Bible says, he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. In other words, the needs are vast. There's not enough people to help. So pray that people would go. And so pray the Lord of the harvest to change the heart. Pray the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields. In other words, Lord, there's huge needs. Would you send more people? And then you might want to stop and go, God, am I one of those people? What have you called me to do? I always tell people, no prayer is sincere unless you walk away from the altar and do everything in your power to see the answer happen. It's one thing to pray, oh God, our culture, oh God this, or oh God that, and we don't do our part to answer the prayer, right? You pray, we pray as if everything depends upon God. We work as if everything depends upon us. We do our part. We pray for more people to go, and number two, we pray for the nations. In Psalms, it says, the whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. All the families of the nations will bow down before him. So we pray for the nations. There's a great book, and I don't often recommend books to read because I know there's different styles and all this stuff. But I'll tell you right now, I promise this. I'll give you the Mark Schweifel money-back guarantee. If you read the book I'm going to tell you about right now and you don't like it, I will pay your Amazon fee back, personally. If you've never read this book, it's called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. His son and daughter wrote a biography about their father who went to China Inland Mission. He lost a wife on the field. He lost some children on the field. He was the first, he's probably the father of modern missions. When I say that, he was one of the first missionaries that went over to a foreign country, China, and realized, I got to look like the Chinese. I've got to dress like the Chinese. I got to eat what the Chinese eat if I want to reach the Chinese. But he was a man of faith, called out of the business for a world, he was from England, went back to England, and he said this. Well, he came back to a missions conference, and they're applauding him because of the great things that happened in China, and he stood up and said this one time, and read the book, it talks about it. He says, don't pray whether you're called to stay. He says, no, excuse me. He says, don't pray whether you're called to go with me. Pray whether you're called to stay here. God said to go. And then he says, if you don't think God could afford to help pay your trip, then don't come. My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't want you to be a vegetarian. Now, if you're a vegetarian, that's not a political thing right there. It's not an eating habit thing. It was a quote from Hudson Taylor, okay? Be mad at Hudson, not me. What he was saying is God has the ability to provide for the dreams God has. Then he said this, when I get to China, I will have no claim on anything from anyone. My claim will be God alone. He says this, some prayer. I've learned to move men to God through prayer alone. I've learned to move men to God through prayer alone. If you're a parent and you're struggling with your kids, I've learned to move my kids to God through prayer alone. I've learned. In other words, what he says, I can't claim victory in China on my smarts or my intellect or my creativity or my innovation. I've learned to move men to God through prayer alone. And I want to encourage you, church, if we say we believe that the Bible is the authoritative word of God and God says to go, I'm telling you right now, we need to be people who pray. Not so much, God, am I called to go on a trip or am I called, but rather, God, am I called to stay? We're all called to go across the street, across the state, across the tracks, across the globe. We are all called to see God's nations and people and tribes and tongues in heaven. We are his plan. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers. Pray the nations that they would all bow down before God someday. A believing heart for missions. Pray. In this book we gave you, we didn't just give you the book because we wanted to print something. We gave you this because it has the trips we're taking the next 12 months, but it also has in here all of our local partners that we partner with, and the people who do ministry in our community, to reach out to the least of these in our community, or pockets of people who have needs. And then our missionaries locally in our state, the ones we support, whether they're on the college campus through Chi Alpha or missionaries in villages across the state. And then last, we have our global missions. And maybe you're from a church that you're used to seeing missionaries come and talk and share. We have about 60 different people we invest in. If we gave, we would never be, I mean, when I say that, what's unique about the Assemblies of God is we don't send like a team from here and we have two or three missions families or 10 missions. We support 60, 70 missionaries to the tune of $340,000 or $339,000 a year last year. In fact, last year our budget was just shy of $3 million. And we sent 330,000+ out the door. For every $10 that came in, a dollar went out the door because we love missions at True North. But I want to encourage you, would you pray for these missionaries? Take your phone on the QR code here, or the QR code, we have one in the foyer, right, where it says missions, and you want to go on mission, and you go there, you can actually save that on the home screen of your phone, and there's missionaries. You can pray through and scroll through the website and pray for our missionaries. Pray for them by name. Pray for them by location. Pray for them. Prayer moves a hand that moves the world. So pray, number one. Number two, send. Say send. In other words, we want to send people. And one of the ways we send people, in fact, Kinsey, there's a young gal, blonde gal with real light blue eyes that was on a missionary. She's over in Africa on a mission, in missions. Kinsey, I've known Kinsey since she was in fifth or sixth grade. And Kinsey's mom and dad were pastors in Palmer, Alaska. And probably about 15 years ago, her mom and dad had been in their church for a decade. The church sent them on a retreat, kind of a sabbatical. And they're walking on a street in some suburb of Phoenix where they're on vacation. And out of the 3.5 million people in that area, a driver in an SUV fell asleep. And the SUV went onto the sidewalk where this pastor and his wife were walking, killed him. Instant. Kinsey was fifth grade, got called to full-time missions. And when she says she packed us up and True North is in her suitcase and thanking us for that, Kinsey's an orphan who's reaching orphans. Prayer is important. We sent her. Every month when we send support, we're keeping her there. In fact, I love what the Bible says. The Bible says Jews and Gentiles. This is Paul writing this. Paul's writing this when there was a tug of war in the church, the Jewish church over there, going, wait a second here. You mean Gentiles, which aren't God's special people, are also in the kingdom of God? He goes, Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone, say everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him unless they've heard about him? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how can they, can anyone go and tell them if they aren't or without being sent? That is why the scripture says how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Guys, part of our responsibility as a church is we send. When you tithe and when you give, you are a part of sending people around the globe at True North Church. 10% of what is given at True North is out the door. It's tithe. We tithe just like we ask people to tithe. And we make sure we do world missions. And the Bible says how beautiful are the feet of the... How many of you guys like your feet? Anyone like your feet? Anyone here say, no, my feet are gnarly. There's some of you, you know, you probably won't raise your hand, but there's some of you, they wouldn't do a pedi on you if you paid them. Some of you do your pedis over Woodlawn. They take out like a grinder, right? But if you're a part of True North and you're a part of sending, the Bible says how sexy are your feet. There. I'm not talking about the rest of your body. I'm talking about your feet. The Bible says how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. My prayer is all of us would be people who pray and we'd have sexy feet. Not because of the human petties we get done, but because in the spirit realm, when you're a part of sending, your feet are beautiful and the gospel's going before. And that's part of I'm going to move on because I'm going to run out of time here and I've talked too long about feet. Number three, we got to go. We got to go. You've been commissioned to go. In Matthew and Mark, Luke says, I'm sending you. Jesus said, I'm sending you just like I was sent by my Father, so I send you. And there's two ways we can go. We can go a long term, which means you're called to be a missionary. And there's some people in here, maybe that is your call. You are called to go because that'll be the role or the job you have for the kingdom of God. And others of you, you'll go on short term that you're called to serve missions. You're not called to be a missionary, but you're called to serve missions. And my prayer is this, my prayer. Can I tell you what my ultimate motive would be? Not an ulterior motive, but ultimate. My prayer is everybody that attends True North Church at some point would go on a foreign mission trip. Why not? You might look and go, Mark, I can't afford to go. And I would say this, you can write letters to friends, family. I've never seen anyone not raise enough money for a mission trip they felt like God wanted them to go on. And it's going to change you. But I'd say this, to start saving $20 a month. Next couple of years, at some time you'll have what you need. I'm convinced it's not the call to stay. It's the call. It's not the call. God, should I go? God's going, I told you to go. Told you to preach the gospel of nations. God has a dream that the heaven will be filled with nations and people groups and language groups. And guess what? We are his implementation plan. We are his skid steer. We're the Visqueen. We're the Ford Ranger pickup that's got to move that gravel. We're his plan. Now, maybe you're here today. Maybe you're watching online and you're going like, Mark, you've been talking a lot about God and I feel a little bit like motivated, but I don't even know the God you're talking about. The Bible says it's important once for man to die, and after that we face judgment. In other words, every one of us has an expiration date on the milk carton of our life. If you're here today and you've never made a commitment to Jesus, we always say it in True North, it's as easy as A, B, C. A, admit you've sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the God's plan for our life. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And C, confess Jesus as the Lord of your life. You have to confess it. You're here, you've never followed through with that plan. You've never admitted, believed, and confessed. I'd like to pray with you. In fact, would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room today? Online, if you're watching, you've never made a commitment to serve Jesus. Just pray this prayer silently as I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, today, I admit I've sinned. And I believe you died on the cross to forgive me. Today, please forgive me for my sins. Please be my Savior and my life leader. Help me serve you the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.